McHugh?
Here.
Mr. Nankervis?
Here.
Ms. Weldon?
Here.
Ms. White?
Here.
Mayor Kell?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. This might fit now. We have some honorary mayors with us tonight. I'll let them introduce themselves. And later in the agenda, under mayor comments, they will be speaking.
So you're
naming your school.
Okay. Hi, I'm Roel Dela Cruz, and I'm representing Thunder Mountain.
Hi, I'm Katie Boffin. I'm representing Yakuske Dakahiti.
Hi, my name is Tasha Elizarde, and I am representing Hugo Douglas High School.
Thank you.
Can we test for Mr. Jones real quick? Mr. Jones, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
We have a special recognition tonight, and if I could have first the police department and the fire department.
There's it.
And could I have Riley and Seth come up here and their families? And their families. You can give that camera to someone. All right. We saw an extremely noble thing happen this weekend, and before I turn the mic over to the fire department, police department, I would just like to go through and have everybody introduce themselves. Michael Cross, uncle.
Captain John, mom.
One of the good guys.
Maya, sister.
Say good dad?
Yeah. Darn if I
Seth Garen.
One of the good guys.
Yeah.
Eric Garen, father.
Captain Garen, brother.
Is he a good guy?
Yes.
Grandpa, provider.
Mary Jones, Nana Farrell.
Okay, and before we get going any further, let's just have a hand for these. So, Riley and Seth, you're here tonight because you have done something that we consider very noble, risking your lives for someone else. And turn it over to you.
Thank you, Mayor. In case you had not heard the story, and based on our Facebook hits, tens of thousands of people have heard the story, but if you have not, on Wednesday of last week, a group of teen boys decided to hang out at Cope Park. This small decision, as it would turn out, saved the life of a five-year-old boy named Mason. Mason was walking with his babysitter when he slipped down an embankment and just that fast was in the icy waters of Gold Creek. One of the boys, Xavier, tried to grab the boy but missed, and Riley John immediately went into the water himself to get the boy, risking his own 14-year-old life to retrieve Mason. The water was so cold, Riley was quickly impacted physically. When he got to the edge of the creek, Seth Garen took Mason from him and carried Mason to the ambulance. JPD had a ceremony last Friday to honor Riley and Seth in front of peers and family at Yakus Dakahihini High School. We were short a JPD honor coin at that ceremony, and I apologize for that. So I now have a coin for Seth and also a coupon for a Bullwinkle's pizza because we are talking about teenage boys. So I knew they would want something to eat out of this whole thing, and Riley's already gotten his pizza coupon. So thank you to Bullwinkles for that, and we appreciate what you've done for this community.
The fire department is going to be presenting Seth
and Riley are challenge points. These points are given to our firefighters who reach a certain benchmark. They're also given to our honored guests who perform and contribute to our communities. I want to thank Riley and Seth for performing something that's very heroic and quick mind, quickly saved an individual's life here. So these challenge points are for you to keep.
Okay, Riley and Seth, would you like to come over here, please?
They would not, I'm sure.
Are you guys going to be shy, or do you want to say anything?
All right.
We could have the representatives from the Salvation Army come up. Hi. We're recognizing the Salvation Army tonight because of last week? It seems like a long time ago. We had the unexpected closure of Bergman, and we have been talking with the Salvation Army about putting together a warming center. And all of a sudden, the warming center became a reality long before we thought it was going to. And if I recall, you two stepped in, and how many sleepless nights have you put in, or did you put in?
Well, we were originally going to be open for four nights, but it was so cold, we added another night, so we had five sleepless nights, because there really wasn't anyone else who had to be there on site, so.
We had some volunteers helping with that.
Amazing.
What number can people volunteer if they would like to be part of a warming center?
Well, they can call me on my cell phone. It's easy to do. It's 723-0223. But you can come down to the Salvation Army and pick up an application. I encourage you to fill out an application. You don't have to be able to help out. And we really want to be able to do this next year.
Full time
for people who just aren't able to go into the glory wall and they don't have any other options, so we're giving them a second chance.
Okay. When I talk to the honorary mayors, one of the things that a mayor gets to do is one of the fun parts, or I guess one of the really, really good parts, right, Meryl? Just recognize what a great community we are. We just did that with people that were willing to risk their lives, and now we're doing that with people that will stay up all night, night after night after night, to do things for their fellow men. So thank you on behalf of you. And last but not least, on that community across the bridge. So we're not going to get into the Juno Douglas thing. This is a proclamation commemorating Douglas Days. And do we have anybody from Douglas here?
We do, but we have two ladies representing groups right up front.
Yes. Talk into the microphone. Thank you. You are?
Mary Kate Pusich.
Okay. Whereas the Treadwell Mine in Douglas operated from 1882 to 1922 and was Alaska's first successful large-scale developmental project. And whereas a century ago, Treadwell was the site of the largest gold mining operation in existence and was a foundation in the development of the economy and community of Juneau. And whereas in its time, the Treadwell mine has no equal in terms of state-of-art mining techniques and annual yield. And whereas the 1917 cave-in led to the closure of the four-mine complex on South Douglas Island, and whereas the Treadwell Historical Preservation and Restoration Society, along with the Douglas Advisory Board, the Douglas Island Neighborhood Association, and the Douglas Fourth of July Committee are collaborating to commemorate the centennial of the Treadwell Mine cave-in on April 21st and 22nd, 2017. And whereas the commemoration will consist of 10-week series of events, including a Treadwell Miners Ball, a community potluck picnic, walking tours of the Treadwell Mine Historical Park, and other activities. And whereas the annual Gold Rush Days and 4th of July activities will highlight the historic centennial of the cave-in, now therefore I, Kendall D. Couch, Mayor of the City and Borough of Juneau, on behalf of the City and Borough, hereby declare that I read that without my glasses. So hereby declare April 20th through July 5th, 2017, as Douglas Days. Douglas Days? Okay. In witness thereof, I have hereby set my seal and caused the city of the city and borough of Juneau, Alaska, to be affixed third day of April 2017, and I have one for each one.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
All the events that we have planned and make it special and have some fun. We'll
throw
the
other people
down.
Cross the bridge. No passing required this year. All right. That's it. All right. And again, I just want to, notice that we have some very outstanding people in this community, and it's good to recognize them. Which brings us back to the agenda, approval of the minutes. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we approve regular assembly meeting 2017-05. I did not find any corrections, so thank you. Ask unanimous consent.
Is there any objection? Minutes are approved. Manager's request for agenda changes.
Mr. Mayor, I would request that Resolution 2796 be pulled from the consent agenda so the chair of the HRC can address potential changes in the bylaws.
All right. Everybody knows which one is being pulled. Mr. Nankervis.
Mr. Mayor, I have a request for an agenda change if the manager is done.
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I would propose moving unfinished business item A to executive session. This is an appeal hearing where we are acting in our quasi-judicial capacity, and I think that is appropriate to discuss. I have some questions on that, and I think that's appropriate to discuss in executive session, and I would like to move that item to executive session and then bring it back, obviously, an out-of-executive session once we've had that discussion. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, is there any objection to that? All right. That is all the agenda changes. We now are at public participation on non-agenda items, and normally we have, let's do 2.5 minutes on these, please. Good.
I only have a full minute.
You want to do two? Well, I'm glad I didn't ask for 2:45. I really would have been in trouble. All right, 3 minutes then.
Okay.
All right. First is Mr. Quayle. And please give us your name and your resident address.
William Quayle, 415 Willoughby. We're finally getting some progress on the regulation. We're into a situation where it's a draft. It's not exactly what I asked for, and they did as little as possible. They took my advice. When it comes to 40-plus years being in insurance business, you got to change it when it comes to change the liability insurance. That's about it. When it comes to inspection, they lowered the inspection fee. But that's about it. They insulted my, number one, I wanted to complete standalone regulation by itself because they keep on putting the buses and the taxis together, and they treat us like the buses and taxis. They still haven't changed the $1,500, and that's the reason why they still have us on the same regulation as the buses and taxis. We're going to ask the Assembly to change this so it is standalone and recommend to the to have it stand by itself. That way you can justify changing the fees. You know, because that way it can have, right now SICA charges only $400 for the fee. $1,500 for one single operator is a little bit much. I have 293 voters, and when I was running for Assembly to stop the insanity, and that reason why they voted for me is because of that reason. And also when it comes to going outside the area, the downtown, we're not horse carriages, okay? Norton can attest that I'm very well capable of taking people long distances. And he's seen me take, I've been up on Perseverance Trail on the lower backside of the Juneau. And I would like to be able to take people to Treadwell Mine. Okay, when it comes to them be able to experience that, have them drop off. But the way they got this set up, can't do that. Can't take people to, I like to take people to the lower Mendenhall Trail. It would be an all-day trip, but they would be riding all day. But I'd be stopping at Fred Meyer and Safeway, and then we go up and down the trail. As for my lights, it was the biggest insult to my manufacturer because we have I have a very elaborate 12-volt system for my lights, and my pedicab lit up like a Christmas tree, and they say I can't run at night. So this has to be redone. Okay, I'm going to be sending you stuff in writing tomorrow. And you will see, you'll have it in the mail.
Thank you, Mr. Quayle.
Any questions?
Thank you.
Justin Sleppy and Kathy Tran with OSOG.
I have papers to be distributed to the assembly members. Hi, I'm Kathy Tran with Thunder Mountain High School.
And I'm Justin Sleppy, also with Thunder Mountain High School. I am our student government's president, and Kathy is our vice president.
So really here just to deliver a brief report on OSOG, the Alaska Association of Student Governments, because I think a couple weeks or last month or so, we came here and requested that the city and borough of Juneau donate $1,000 to OSOG, and so we're here to thank you for that monetary contribution, and as well as just explain what happened, summarize the events of the conference. And so, I guess to jump in, there was around 330 participants at the conference, with over 40 schools joining us from all around Alaska, from Barrow to
Alaska.
So we had a really wide range and very diverse students come. And which really brings me to our conference theme, which was Unity Through Diversity, to hear people from all corners and reaches of Alaska come and, you know, contribute to this conference, to discuss resolutions, to participate in General Assembly, to explore the community of Juneau, Alaska. And actually one of our biggest events during this conference was we brought everyone up the hill, up to the Capitol building, to talk with their legislators. And I think it was a really monumental and historical time and event because these students who don't often get the chance to talk to their legislators had the opportunity to at OSOG. And so I think that was one of our greatest accomplishments at this conference.
So like Kathy said, it took a lot of work to make this conference a reality. We've been planning this for 6 months, and the entire event itself was all youth planned. And so as a student government, we were able to bring in, you know, all 43 of these schools from around the state to discuss these resolutions, meet their legislators, meet the governor, all these things that otherwise they wouldn't have the opportunity to do in high school. So it was a huge thing we were able to do, and we're really proud because it took a lot of work, not only from ourselves, but from the people around the community. We had over 50 different organizations donating and helping us in many different ways. So every contribution helped, so we're very, very thankful for everything you were able to do for us. Yeah.
And just to give a brief little summary on what they discussed, resolutions, which are basically they bring ideas to the table, whether it's a local, community, or statewide or national issue. They come, and one of the most impactful resolutions I saw was a resolution brought up by Wilfred Sabell, the former SPEED rep, the State Board of Education Early Development Student Representative, and he brought a resolution that passed, and it voices the collective student body of the entire Association of Student Governments, and it supports HB 115, which is an actual bill in the legislation right now. So we're really current, we're involved with our community, with our legislature, and so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very good. Any questions? Maria?
HB
115? HB 115 is a House bill that basically reconstructs the permanent fund dividend, as well as implements an income tax.
Just wanted to give you a chance to
pass the test. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Joyce Levine.
Good evening. My name is Joyce Levine. I live at 823 6th Street. And I'm here tonight because of the people that were tossed out, had to leave, or whatever you want to call it, from the Bergman. Most of those people had already paid their rent to the city. They had already, and for many of us here who may have two or three or four houses that we own, that we get rent, these people had a one room at the Bergman that was falling apart. They were kicked out for obvious reasons, because it was unsafe, and it was unsafe for their lives. Many of those people ended up being at the Salvation Army center that was set up. Others ended up going to their friends' houses, their family's houses, but basically right now they're out that money. Now to some of us, maybe $700 wouldn't be a lot of money. Some of us maybe go to Vegas and blow $700 in one shot. But these are people that paid $700, I think that was the amount for a room, as their rent for the month. In the second week, I think some people even paid by a day or two before the eviction. I'm here to ask the city that in all our times of giving money to different things that we give money to, that we give those people who were evicted out of those apartments back their rent. I know, and I would also like to see Juno tighten up the rules and regulations that we have for landowners who, or homeowners who either rent out their, not so much apartments, but apartment buildings, where there's so many people who are living there, who we've seen it through the Gastineau apartments, we've seen it through the Fosbys, and now we're seeing it, we saw it at the Bergman, where these people are just put in danger, who are low-income people, and for many of us, I work for the state of Alaska. The state of Alaska provides me the ability to get a lawyer. They'll help pay for my lawyer. I'm sure many of you who work for the city, your insurance covers a lawyer. These people don't have lawyers. For them to go through the process of taking it to court, filling out the paper, it's just not in their life to do that kind of thing, to go through all that. So I'm asking the city to help refund the rents that were paid to those people. So they're not going to get their place back. Who knows what's going to happen with the Bergman? I don't even know if you guys are going to do anything about those guys. But I think for the people that suffered, they should get their money back.
Okay. Are there any questions? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
That concludes everyone that we have signed up for public comment at this time. There is another opportunity at the end of the agenda to, again, non-agenda items, public participation. And that will bring us to the consent agenda. Mr. Nan Curvis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Wait a minute before I get to it. I'm rushing this. Is there any public request for consent agenda changes other than ordinance for introduction? Is there any assembly request for consent agenda changes? Now, Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of the consent agenda with the following change, the removal of Resolution 2796, and I would ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objection? That brings us to public hearing, and the first item will be Bartlett bylaws.
Resolution 2796, a resolution approving amendments to the bylaws of the Board of Directors of Bartlett Regional Hospital.
CBJ 4005030 requires the hospital board to recommend bylaws for the administration and government of the hospital, which become effective upon assembly approval by resolution. This resolution would accept the hospital board's recommended amendments to its bylaws that were approved by the board at its regular meeting on February 28, 2017. Highlights of the amendments include revision to BRH's non-discrimination policy, establishment of a standing board of governance committee, establishment of a standing board compliance and audit committee, and provision of telephonic participation in meetings. The Human Resources Committee reviewed this resolution just before this meeting tonight and has recommendations regarding review of those materials, and I recommend their changes be adopted.
All right. Is there any public comment on Resolution 2796? Who on?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Yes. The Human Resources Committee reviewed the bylaws. We made one change, and we are recommending this amendment to the full assembly. And if the assembly would turn to page 11 of the bylaws, under the section 0164, call of meetings, and look under new number 4, and 1, 2, 3, 4. The fifth sentence, changing the word two, T-W-O, to one, O-N-E, and taking the S off members. So the completed sentence would read, no more than the first three members for a board meeting or one member for a committee meeting. To contact the administrator, may participate via telephone at any one meeting. And I would ask you that to be an amendment approved by the assembly and would ask for unanimous consent.
Okay, would the maker of the motion speak to it?
Sure. The reason for this is if you'll read further and back in the bylaws, almost all of the committees consist now of a chair and two members, meaning that all committees are three-person committees. This would have allowed for the majority of a committee to be on the telephone. And so we felt, and I in particular felt, that we should have two members of a committee, the majority, in person, that there should only be one on the phone if it's a three-person committee.
Any questions from the assembly? Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Jones, do we have anybody from the hospital board present at the meeting, and did they provide any input on that change?
Yes, we had Bob Storr, who was the chair of the governance committee, and also James Siebens, who was the attorney. Mr. Storr spoke to the amendment and said he could speak on behalf of the board, and they would accept that change.
Thank you.
Store us here if anybody wants to follow up on that one. All right, we have an amendment before you. Is there any discussion? It was asked that we accept it by unanimous consent. Is there any objection? Okay, we're now back to the bylaws as amended.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I would move that we adopt resolution serial number 2796, and under section 1, the assembly hereby approves the Bartlett Regional Hospital Board of Directors bylaws dated 5/28/2017 as amended, attached as exhibit A.
Is there any objection? Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Jones. Ms. Weldon, members of the Human Resources Committee. All right. Public hearings.
Ordinance 2016-09-AG, an ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $100,000 as funding for the manager's office operating budget, funding provided by the sales tax fund unbalanced.
Madam Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This ordinance would appropriate $100,000 of unrestricted sales tax from the sales tax fund's fund balance in FY17. The CBGA strongly supports and welcomes cruise ship tourism and will continue to work cooperatively with the industry to address impacts caused by the visitation of approximately 1 million visitors to the CBGA per year. At the same time, the CBGA must defend its marine passenger and port development fees against the constitutional challenges raised by the industry and the litigation brought by the Cruise Line International Association. These funds would be appropriated in FY17 as a reserve to be used by the city attorney at the direction of the assembly to defend the ongoing litigation by CLIA. I recommend this motion.
Is there any public comment? No. Mr. Gregory.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to recommend approval of Ordinance 2016-09-AG and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Mr. Jones, did you hear that one?
I did.
Okay. Hearing no objections, Ordinance 2016-09-AG is approved.
Ordinance 2016-09-AH, an ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $309,578 as funding for the Juneau International Airport Part 121 Ramp Capital Improvement Project, funding provided by passenger facility charges.
Madam Manager.
Mr. Mayor, this ordinance would appropriate $309,578 to the Juneau International Airport Part 121 Ramp Capital Improvement Project, funding provided by passenger facility charges. The funding will be used with existing passenger facility charges funding to construct an air cargo hard stand and a concrete slab at Gate 5. The Airport Board approved this action at its March 14, 2017 meeting. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there any public comment? Seeing none, comes back to the Assembly. Ms. Weldon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we adopt Ordinance 2016-09-AH and ask for unanimous consent.
Seeing and hearing no objection, Ordinance 2016-09-AH is approved. Madam Clerk.
Ordinance 2016-09-AI, an ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $15,000 as funding for the Jensen Olson Arboretum Parking and Conservatory Capital Improvement Project, funding provided by the Jensen Olson Arboretum's fund balance.
Madam Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This ordinance would appropriate $15,000 to Jensen Olson Arboretum Parking and Conservatory CIP for parking lot improvements. Funding is provided from the Jensen Olson Arboretum's fund balance. Public Works and Facilities Committee forwarded this recommendation to the Assembly for approval at its meeting on February 27, 2017. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there anyone from the public that wishes to come? Ms. White.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I move the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2016-09-AI and ask for unanimous consent.
Hearing and seeing no objection, Ordinance 2016-09-AI is approved. Madam Clerk.
Ordinance 2016-09-AJ, an ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $127,000 as funding for the Jensen Olson Arboretum Residence Deferred Capital Maintenance. Deferred Maintenance Capital Improvement Project, funding provided by the Jensen Olson Arboretum Fund Balance.
Madam Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This ordinance would appropriate $127,000 to Jensen Olson Arboretum Residence Deferred Maintenance CIP for Arboretum Manager Home Repairs. Funding is provided from the Jensen Olson Arboretum Fund Balance. The Public Works and Facilities Committee forwarded this recommendation to the Assembly for its approval at its meeting on February 27, 2017, I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there anyone from the public that would like to comment? Seeing none, Ms. Vladishevsky.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move that we adopt Ordinance 2016-09-AJ and ask for unanimous consent.
Seeing and hearing no objection, ordinance. I want to make sure I got the right one. 2016-09-AJ is approved. Madam Clerk.
Ordinance 2016-26B, an ordinance amending the land use code relating to access standards.
Madam Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The primary purpose of this ordinance is to create a new access option for certain subdivisions by allowing shared private access. This would allow for an exception from the requirement that lots have frontage on a public right-of-way and instead allow the lots to be accessed via private shared access located in a private easement. Private shared access ways would be maintained solely by the homeowners. On October 25, 2016, the Planning Commission approved moving the ordinance to the Assembly for its consideration. The ordinance was introduced at the November 7, 2016 Assembly meeting and referred to Committee of the Whole. It was heard by the Committee at its November 21st, January 9th, and January 30th meetings, which was a joint meeting with the Planning Commission, and finally at the March 13, 2017 meeting. The Committee of the Whole requested a few changes to the ordinance, and approved moving the amended ordinance to the next assembly meeting for public hearing. The memorandum in your packet from the municipal attorney explains the changes made by the committee. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there anyone from the public that wishes to comment? Where did Ms. Dvorak go?
After the car. This is the opportunity.
This is the opportunity.
We shall return.
All right. Well, at this stage, let's just take a brief 5 minute at ease that we don't lose any public comment. Ordinance 2016-26B, an ordinance amending the land code relating to access standards. Is there anyone from the public that wishes to testify? Come up here and state your name and address, please.
My name is Woody Dvorak. I live at 4825 Blazer Highway. My comment on ordinance in Section 11, Division 2, the privately maintained access in a right-of-way, Code 4935270, the purpose states a privately maintained access road serving 13 or fewer lots located outside of the urban service area might be constructed within a public right-of-way and constructed to less than full public street construction standards. And I would propose that the phrase located outside the urban service area be omitted from that code. My reasoning is at my property, I would like to develop an area behind me uphill, and I live adjacent to Cameron Cradle Condominium, and there's a public right-of-way in condos, and I would like to construct a driveway in there, in that public right-of-way, extending the existing driveway Cameron Trails currently has there. And I'm prevented from doing so by this rule that this I can't. It must be constructed to current full street standards. And I think that it's just to build a single home. That's a bit overkill. So I've been in contact with the Community Development Department, and they suggested that perhaps this might be a solution. And I've been told that I'm not alone in this. That there are several or many other instances of cases similar to mine where properties are somewhat landlocked, so to speak, and can't be feasibly developed because of this restriction.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Dvorak? All right. Thank you, and we'll continue on with the discussion.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming down. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of Ordinance Serial Number 2016-26B.
Okay. Is there a discussion? Ms. White?
Actually, I was hoping that we could have Mr. Keel explain to us what would happen if we took the... if we made this change Mr. Dvorak is requesting.
So if I understand your question, Ms. White, you'd like to know what the effect of the change that Mr. Dvorak has proposed would be?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and for the people on the radio, you are...
I am Rob Steedle, Community Development Director.
Thank you.
So the effect of the change that has been suggested is that this pattern of development of putting driveways into platted but undeveloped rights of way could occur within the urban service area as well as outside. And there are a number of platted but undeveloped rights of way within the urban service area that could benefit from the development suggested by Mr. Dvorak. Quite close to his property is Bower Lane, which has a driveway in it, and two property owners there are very interested in subdividing their lands to put in lots, but they cannot do that because of this prohibition.
You just explained the plain meaning of the change, but why is this in here? Why is it like this? Why didn't the Planning Commission or you or anyone suggest we do this earlier?
This was a change that was made when the Assembly was considering the subdivision ordinance back in 2015. And so it had left the Planning Commission without this restriction, and this was a change made at the Assembly level.
So let me just understand. So it used to be allowed.
No.
So no. That's what I... can you explain some more?
This pattern of development was occurring outside of the code. There was no provision for it. It's just the way the community grew up. The same as private shared access, which is where most of the discussion on this ordinance has been. At your last committee of the whole meeting, you made certain changes to the ordinance, and you can now have, if you pass this ordinance, private shared access. That is, this would be through easements across private property, and that could occur in the urban service area boundary, correct? So there's somewhat of an inconsistency to say that development pattern is okay within the urban service area, but having driveways within platted rights of way is not okay. So I recommend that you consider this change and debate it amongst yourselves.
Can I ask Ms. Mead, real quick, she wanted to say something?
No, if this is a change that you want to make, it is going to require some reworking of the code and the street standards table. Right now, we require paving in minor subdivisions, and this would be a change from that. So unless you come up with different standards that would apply, we would no longer require paving in minor subdivisions. A developer would have a choice. That was one of the reasons why the assembly went in the direction it did back in when it was considering 2015-03, that the nature of home ownership in the urban service area was such that people expected a certain level of service, and that service was provided by having paved public roads, and that these were more suited for the outside of the urban service area. So the street standards table remained intact in the urban service area, and we added a new category for outside the urban service area, which are these privately maintained roads in public rights of way.
Ms. White?
I guess I'm just having a hard time figuring out how this hurts something if there's, say, two, three, or maybe four homes that are sharing an access without bringing it all the way up to the paved and streets and gutters and lights and all this other stuff that drives up the cost of development in this town. And if there was a way that we could have something that said if it was within the urban service area that it was, you know, just for two to four properties total being serviced by that, that once you cross four or something, then you had to pave it, it would just make a lot more sense, and it would follow through with the suggestions we've had of encouraging infill, and while we might be facing a new economy and a changed real estate market, the fact is this is one way where we're within areas that could, you know, potentially have bus service and you know, be walking distance to a grocery store, other things that people that are in affordable housing need. I mean, it's just a way that we could fill a need. It's not like every single person is going to, like, start building another cottage in their backyard and have a little driveway that goes around the garage, but there's places where it does make sense. And I'd like to find a way to accommodate that.
Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. it's a complicated issue, and I don't know that there isn't some possibility to come close to what we're proposing tonight for privately maintained driveways, capped at four lots, for something comparable in a platted but unbuilt right-of-way, as Ms. White suggested, at four lots. When we looked at the subdivision ordinance in 2015, and I see Mr. Sanford's having flashbacks, and I hope it wasn't too traumatic to bring this back up. Sorry you had to be here for this, Meryl. but when we looked at this, we did a really deep dive. I mean, we looked at you know,
the street standards and responsibility for later upgrades and the development patterns. We looked at what might encourage the maximum density of infill so that we make the best use of our land and the most efficient use and build the most housing on it. So we didn't create sort of perverse incentives to do small lots in, or rather large lots in high density zones. And then of course the question of that the attorney described a little bit of what Juneau citizens demand within the urban service boundary in terms of what we expect our streets to be like and how long it takes before somebody comes back with an LID proposal to build the street out to full standards, paid for 90% by everybody else and 10% by the folks who live on the street. And so that cost-shifting question was a major part of our deliberation. So I don't know that it's an unreasonable request in these real limited situations, but I think it needs an in-depth look, and I think we need to look at it as a whole package rather than as a last-minute tack-on to tonight's ordinance, which has been the result of a lot of long deliberation by the Planning Commission and by the Assembly at committee. So I would suggest that that it's worth looking at on its own, but that we not try and wedge it in haphazardly tonight.
Any other comments? Ms. White, did you want to make a move? If that will go back to the main motion.
Well, I guess we're not going to get a modification on this particular ordinance, but I would like to know if there's enough support among the Assembly to look at something for areas where it would work to have, you know, 2 to 4 properties share an access within this urban service area, because it does make sense in a lot of places. There's a lot of places where you've got people with, you know, they're in D5 zoning and they've got over a half acre and there could be another house built, and it would make a lot of sense. It would just really help. So I don't know if there's support to look at that. Looks like Maria has something to say.
Just getting your attention.
Later.
I would be supportive of looking at it. I think this has been through the Planning Commission 3 or 4 meetings, the Assembly 3 or 4 meetings. We've done a lot of work on this, and I would hate to make a change like this right now, but I think it could work in some instances as long as it's thought through, all those things that Mr. Keel mentioned and other people that we've gone around and round on this. I just wouldn't want to do it right now, but I certainly don't object to looking at it and having the Planning Commission look at it.
I see a lot of head nodding. Right?
Okay.
We're back to the main motion. Is there further discussion on the main motion? Seeing none, is there objection to the main motion? Seeing and hearing none, Ordinance 2016-2016, an ordinance amending the land code use related to access standard is approved. And Mr. Steele, you heard the...
Okay. Loud and clear.
Thank you. For those that came in a little bit later, the Seal Trust is going to be dealt with in executive session, or at least started there. New business. Request for authorization. Madam Clerk.
This is a request for authorization for the city manager to enter into a negotiated fair market value sale of Juneau Town Site Block 115, Lot 6, with the adjacent property.
Madam Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Lands Office received an application to purchase Juneau Town Site Block 115, Lot 6. The applicants are the owners of Lot 7, which neighbors the property requested for purchase. The applicants wish to acquire the lot to make structural improvements to their existing home for mitigation against natural hazards and to better develop single-level living to assist family members. On February 27, 2017, the Assembly Lands Committee reviewed and adopted a motion of support to the Assembly for a fair market value sale of Lot 6 to the applicants. The land sale is subject to review by the Planning Commission and authorization by the Assembly by ordinance. As established in CBJ 5309-260A, staff recommends that this proposal be pursued by direct negotiation with the original proposers because the hillside behind the subject property is very steep and has been designated as a hazard zone. Due to the hazard designation, it's listed in the land management plan for retention. However, by selling this lot to the original proposers who are adjacent to the property, a defensive structure could be built to help reduce the risk to the applicant's existing home as well as neighboring homes downslope. I request a motion of support to enter into direct negotiations for the disposal of Juneau Town Site Block 115, Lot 6, to the applicant.
Is there anyone from the public that wishes to comment?
I can.
If you come up and identify yourself and where you live.
Hello, my name is Chris Sidden. I live at 613 4th Street, and I am the applicant for this. So she provided a very nice overview of the rationale for the reason for trying to purchase this next lot adjacent to that, and I would hope that this could go through for those reasons.
Is there any assembly questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the Assembly forward a motion of support to ask staff to enter into direct negotiations for the disposal of Juneau Town Site, Block 115, Lot 6, to the applicant, and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objection? Seeing none, motion carries. Madam Clerk.
This is a request for authorization for the city manager to enter into negotiations for the disposal of a fraction of ATS 14 for fair market value.
Madam Manager.
Mr. Mayor, the Lands Office received an application to acquire approximately 5,000 square feet from Savico Park in Douglas. The applicant is the owner of 522 St. Anne's Avenue, which is adjacent to Savico Park, and this part of the park is not being used actively for park functions. The applicant has requested the property be conveyed at no cost because of an understood verbal agreement from the 1960s made with a previous mayor of Douglas. Verbal agreements to sell or convey real property are not legally enforceable. Staff believes it's appropriate to sell the property to the applicant for fair market value for the reasons explained in the memorandum included in your packet. The Lands Committee and the PRAC reviewed the application and both passed motions of support to the Assembly for disposal. Title 53 states that once an application has been received, the proposal shall be reviewed by the Assembly for a determination of whether the proposal should be further considered, and if so, whether by direct negotiation with the original proposer or by competition after an invitation for further proposals. In this case, an invitation for further proposals is not a valid option because the lot to be acquired is an extension of the applicant's backyard. I request a motion to support to enter into negotiations for the disposal of a fraction of ATS 14 to Ms. Peterson for fair market value.
Is there anyone from the public that wishes to comment? Mr. Nectar, did you?
We thought we'd get a chance to speak.
Yep. Now's the time.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Should I sit here?
No, you can sit right here.
Okay.
Let me pull that back. There you go.
Ms. Peterson, if you'd state your name and your address, please.
Ruth Peterson, and 522 St. Anne's Avenue is my home, but I've been in an accident, so I presently live at Fireweed.
Okay. And whatever you would like to tell us about this.
Well, we bought this land when we first came here, and we gave away 10 foot for the road extension, and we were promised that we would get the same amount down the hill on value. The land was less valuable, and it all had been mentioned in a meeting at the city. But when Douglas became part of the borough of Juneau Douglas, all the paperwork from Douglas, I understand it's not the only thing that was lost. Many other paperwork, and the Juneau office couldn't find it. And I was not the one that lost the papers, but we had been at the meeting when it was decided that everybody would have that down the hill, and we assumed that was happening. But apparently it didn't, because when my husband was cleaning up the hill from when we had had a taku, he couldn't find the markers. So he went to the city and said, there's something missing here. And they couldn't find the papers. And then when Larry Parker, who was the mayor of Juneau at that time, and Bill Bowl, who was the mayor of Douglas, they came to visit one time to see where we were just camping in an unfinished home. And they came to see how we were doing. And they liked the plan of our house, and they came down on the hill, and we chatted. I think we just walked on some boards. And I asked, how far down? I know it doesn't go all the way to the bottom, down where they used to have the Clinkett Avenue. How far down will we get? And they pointed out a tree, and it said on this side of this, oh gosh.
Big cottonwoods.
No, it wasn't cottonwoods. It was sort of a berry one. Elderberry, that's right. This bush. And I just automatically thought, oh, it'll have big branches, and someone had made wine out of it, and I had tasted it. But, you know, people think that it's something that I have made up, but they all agree with it. And you remember Virginia Post, or maybe it's only us elderly who remembers Virginia. But she was a city clerk in Douglas. And when shortly before she died, I had spoken to her and told her that it still hadn't been settled. And she said, Ruth, go talk to the lawyers, because they know that it is right. And she said, everybody on the lower side of St. Anne got that extension. And on the maps, you can see that it went up like this. It just doesn't make any sense. And I asked someone, if we had asked to get a building permit at the time, if it was just that skinny lot, we probably couldn't get a permit. And everybody laughed, and they said, those days, you didn't even need a permit. So, I mean, I've been in two car accidents, and they were pretty bad. But I have lost more sleep over this, because it's like I sleep with a project that I'm working at so hard, and it never gets finished. And it's very frustrating, because it's like I can't have a normal life as I should be able to enjoy some days. like it's always just hanging over me. And if Virginia hadn't been such a weak person, she was all bent over, I would have asked her, would you march over to the city and tell the people what she sent over? And I just felt bad because I found out someone who was employed by the city sat by her or behind her at church. And I was going to ask him to have Virginia tell him everybody got that in a meeting. And somebody in Juneau lost it when we became a Juneau Douglas Borough.
Mr. Sanford?
Sorry for my voice.
You're fine. And I would make comment that assembly meetings do put a lot of people in, but we'll see if we can't get you out of here and so you can rest a little bit easier.
Mr. Mayor, thank you. Assembly members, my name is Merrill Sanford. I've been in this room off and on for the past Mrs. Pedersen and her daughter, Annetta, who lives in New York, came to me with this situation, and I said, well, I'm not going to agree to take it until I read the facts and see how I believe in what your situation is. And after listening to them and just one time, I said, oh, I'd be glad to sit in with you and make you feel comfortable with the assembly members and the mayor, even though they're all very harsh. I'm sure will listen to you and take your thoughts into consideration. They're all good people. And same way with staff. Dan and Greg have been excellent. They've researched all of this. They've come up with a lot of different information that you have before you already. The key to it is there's no written agreement. They took 10 feet of property along all that side.
The city didn't pay me for that because they said they were going to get that below.
Mm-hmm. And then the two properties on either side of Mrs. Pedersen have been exchanged land for that 10 feet that was taken across their property in front on St. Anne. So, and I know for sure the Williams didn't have any of their property charged. It was just extended down the hill towards Sabico Park a little bit. If you look on the plat, you can see the uptick on Pedersen's property and then the downtick again on Williams' property. And it's just never, they've got it.
Oh, good.
And so it was never straightened out for whatever reason. And now we're here at this point, and she's trying to convince all of you, each one of you, what she wants and what she thinks is fair. So I'm going to hand out a little possible motion if one of you want to put that into effect instead of the motion that staff has recommended. I can read it to you and ask you if one of you would do it. That would be fine. It's a little bit different than staff's recommendation.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Mr. Sanford, do you have, you said one of these properties on one side did have an exchange?
Both of them did.
And they didn't pay anything?
No.
And we know that, I mean, there's documentation.
We know for a fact that the one towards the end of St. Anne's didn't pay anything. And then the other one was the Cliff House now. Used to be what the other name, but Millsaps and Grant's property next to them, and there was a couple of land exchanges there because there was a right of way that used to go all the way down. The steep street in Douglas was supposed to go on down the beach, but in the city's good understanding of it was going to be way too steep for a street. They gave that up and they sold some of that land to the Cliff House. And some of it they got in exchange. Now, it's not spelled out very good in those days. And like I said at the Lands Committee meeting, back in those days in the 60s, when most of us were not in high school yet or in high school, and we're going with the heads of the mayors that were then there, you know, a shake of the hand and say, yes, we're going to exchange land with you. And since it was real easy to do because the city owned that property down below to make it fair in the taking of the land up above. And in 2000 or whenever they extended or widened St. Anne's and straightened it all out, that was done. They straightened it all out. They took their 10 feet, and then this particular property, since the family had lived there all along and never had any changes in their property designation or sold it or anything, they didn't realize that none of that had taken place for sure. And so here we are today with the problem of the 10 feet and equal value down below given to them, and it would straighten out that property line down below too. So.
Any other questions, Ms. White?
Mr. Mayor, I don't know that I can quite 100% go along with exactly what Mr. Sanford presented us, because there's one expense that's not written into here. Mrs. Pedersen will need to get a new as-built survey, which includes the house and the land. It's like a map of your property and then how the house sits inside of it with various measurements to different corners. And so I would definitely, you know, want it spelled out that you were covering the survey fee. But I would be happy to make a motion that we give direction for staff to offer the lands that are needed, this 20-foot strip on the hillside, to the Pedersen family at no cost. Just consider it a wash. If you've paid the fee, you're going to have to pay a surveyor and call it good. Because honestly, that I don't see the value of the land being significant enough to worry about. So I would rather we go ahead and do this.
Is that your motion?
Yeah, well, okay, I'll say it again. And we have proof that people listen to the meetings because my phone has been blowing up. Mrs. Pedersen, I have a bunch of friends that just adore you already. So I have several text messages from people saying how much they love you. So I would like to make a motion that we direct city staff to offer the lands a 20-foot strip of land on the hillside as an exchange for the 10 feet of street level property, but I would like to see that as no cost. The city would retain the $500 fee. The Pedersen family would hire the surveyor, and I would ask for unanimous consent.
Questions? Mr. Keel.
For the purpose of a question, Mr. Mayor, can I hear from the city attorney about there's a code here about negotiated sales, but what the code we'd need to use to do fulfill Ms. White's motion?
Certainly. Thanks. Madam Attorney?
Nothing to fulfill the motion. There are other costs associated, and it would probably be a good idea to discuss those as well so there are no surprises, such as there's a subdivision cost that will be incurred because of the lot line adjustment that will need to happen.
Can you disconnect those two?
There would need to be a lot line adjustment extending your current lot, and that falls within the minor subdivision process, and there's a fee associated with that to go through the planning commission. Or actually, that's just a director decision.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Mr.
Just a follow-up. I phrased my question badly. Is it legal? We can do this?
If the city is barred from giving away property except under certain circumstances, the city can enter into land exchanges. So if you are viewing this as the culmination of an extremely long, drawn-out land exchange, then that is something that you could do.
All right, Ms. White, what is your motion?
My motion did view this as a land exchange. I was actually at one time a Douglas girl myself, and I'm familiar with the house, and I believe I remember her husband. So I see this as just something he was supposed to get around to and didn't. So I do see this as a land exchange.
All
Okay, you want to read your motion one more time, or I can ask the clerk to read it?
She deferred to me. Okay. Okay. I would like the CBG staff to offer the land as a land exchange, 20-foot strip of land on the hillside, as noted on the inner packet, would be considered as a trade for the 10 feet of street level property received before. And I would like to see that with no additional cost to the family, with the exception of the $500 fee they've already paid, the surveyor, and probably recording fees, so, which is less than $100, the recording fee. And I would ask for unanimous consent.
Okay. One question, Madam Attorney. Are we missing any fees?
The Planning Commission minor subdivision fee. I think it's 100, Mr. Steele, 150?
I don't recall.
I could look that up if you like.
Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't know who to ask this question to, but at the time that this was done and the other people around her home had the 20 feet and then gave the 10, were there subdivision costs offered? I don't want to see us start to pile on things now that were not requested just because somewhere along the line we didn't pick up, or she didn't pick up, or her husband didn't pick up, or someone didn't, the things that should have been done for her that were done for other people. So I'm not in favor of us adding on any other types of charges, personally.
Madam Attorney.
I'm not quite sure how to address that. This isn't an add-on. In order to divide the land such that you could amend the size of her lot and give her this, there needs to be a lot line adjustment, and that comes, there's a fee associated with that per our code that CDD charges. I'm looking it up for you right now. I believe it's $150.
All right. I think a long time ago we were at yes. So what I'd like to do is do a brief at ease, have the maker of the motion and the attorney get together 5 minutes, and then come back here, and we will deliberate on it. Take a 5 minute at ease, please.
The 43rd Annual Alaska Folk Festival is broadcasting live on KRNN all week. Listen in at 7 p.m. each night for incredible music on your dial at 102.7, or view the live web stream at krnn.org. This broadcast is made possible by generous support from Northwind Architects, True North Federal Credit Union, and Alaskan Brewing Company. Folk Fest, live this week on KRNN.
Is there something you want me to do, Atticus?
Just hold your head high and keep those fists down.
This trial must be pretty important.
It's about right and wrong.
Most people think that they're right and you're wrong.
They're entitled to their opinions. But one thing does not abide by majority rule, honey. It's your conscience.
Harper Lee's classic, To Kill a Mockingbird, runs March 14th to April 16th at Perseverance Theater. Tickets at the Jack, Hearthside Books, ptalaska.org, or 463-TIXF.
KCOO just wrapped up its on-air member drive. Thanks to so many of you who made your contributions. If you meant to renew or start your membership but didn't get to it yet, you can still do so at kcoo.org, and our pop-up gift shop will be open through the month of April. Listeners have contributed more than $77,000 since January, so we're well on our way to the goal of raising $160,000 by the end of June. Your support now can make a big difference, and thanks for being a member in good standing.
Word Live, Word Local, KTOO Juneau at 104.3. And we are currently on a small break from the regular meeting of the City and Borough of Juneau. Tonight, a 10% chance of rain after 4 a.m., cloudy with a low around 38, east wind around 50 miles per hour. Tuesday, a slight rain chance of rain before 10 a.m., then a chance of rain after 4 p.m., cloudy with a high near 50, east wind around 50 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 30%. We'll be back at the meeting in just a few minutes.
of the Alaska State Libraries, Archives, and Museum presents Behind the Scenes, a fundraising gala on April 15th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the State Library, Archives, and Museum, Andrew P. Keshavarov Building. This event gives you an exclusive look behind the scenes at the APK. Explore the off-limits spaces, see a paper conservator in action, get an up-close look at Alaska's hidden treasures, and hear what's happening in the state's greatest space. Live music from Tom Loker, appetizers, and a no-host bar. Tickets available at Hearthside Books, The Jack, and JAHC.org.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I move the Assembly direct staff to offer a 20-foot wide strip of land on the downhill side of the property as described in our packet. The Pattersons will pay the survey costs and recording fees. The city will be responsible for any additional costs related to the subdivision process. I ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objection? Seeing none, motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you, lovely people.
Thank you for your patience.
Oh. You made it heaven.
Sleep well.
Yep.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks, everybody.
I think about all you nice faces. Thank you.
Okay, we have regulations, docks and harbor, Title 5, Chapter 15, fees and charges. Mr. Nan Curvis. We don't need to read this, do we? Madam Attorney.
Just to make the record clear about what it is you are moving past, you probably should read it.
All right. Madam Clerk?
This is the regulation from the Dobson Harbors Board, Title 5, Chapter 15, for fees and charges.
Okay. Mr. Nancy.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
May I have a question for
yes.
staff? Question for staff on this. When the water fees were last set by regulation, Dobson Harbor's markup was about Keystone markup, was about 100%. I know that the costs to Dobson Harbor's have gone up since then. Approximately what is the markup today before this regulation goes into effect? Ballpark.
Mr. Yucatil will address that.
Mr. Gill, I'm not sure if I can answer that with precision. I'm looking for somebody from Waters or Public Works to help me, but it's $4.67 per 1,000 gallons is the fee right now. I think that's probably about 133% of what is being charged right now to docks and harbors. And so part of the decision to have this 150% of the bulk water rate was so that we didn't have to go back and readjust the fee, you know, because we know that we're going to have additional water rates increase. So I don't know what it is right now, but it was kind of standardized that process.
Thank you. That makes great sense. More than current, less than Keystone. Don't have to come back every time. Once upon a time when we did this, somehow a rumor got out that the city was subsidizing water sales to the cruise lines. Wasn't true then, isn't true now. So thank you. I appreciate that. Nothing further from me, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Is there any public comment? Mr. Nan Kervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In lieu of orders of the day, which we have said in the past, I would move that we allow the regulations before us to take effect without taking the item up for assembly consideration in accordance with CBJ 01.60.260.
Any objection? Staff reports.
None from our end, Mr. Mayor.
Assembly reports. Mayor reports, starting with... And with... Tasha, and what I asked them to do was to introduce themselves, what they plan on doing next year, why they like Juneau, and what issue they would work on to make Juneau a better place. Tasha, let's begin with you.
All right. So I plan on, I'm actually a senior at Juneau Douglas High School right now. So next year, what I plan to do is first take a gap year before attending college in Massachusetts. And during my gap year, volunteer in India teaching, as well as do some political work, possibly at the legislature or in D.C. What I love about D.C., I love D.C. too, but I love Juneau even more. I love Juneau because of the wonderful atmosphere here. Everyone here is very involved and happy and cheerful, and that makes me also feel so much more passionate about this town. My choice issue would definitely be access to education. I think that we need to work on civic education and health education in our town.
Okay, that was Tasha L. Saturday. Is
yes.
that correct?
Correct.
All right. Katie Bachman?
So I'm a senior at Yakus, and I have been considering going to college in Europe and getting the education and degrees I need to be a drama therapist and help people with mental health disorders like PTSD or anxiety or depression through acting. Something I like about Juneau is, first off, the landscape. Gorgeous. I mean, it's amazing. And how close-knit the community is. Like, if one person doesn't have something, they know someone who knows someone who does or something like that. And everyone helps each other all the time. It's pretty great. But one issue that I would definitely work on to make Juneau better is the homelessness and the low-income problems that we have. So, yeah.
Ruel De La Cruz.
So I'm a sophomore at Thunder Mountain, and for next year I'm just hoping to volunteer more, advocate for in City Hall and mostly in the Capitol. What I love about Juneau is the people in the community are being so well, like, thoughtful to each other of how, like, easy we are to, like, to be together. And for maybe issue that we've been that I would wish to solve is mostly it's been a long time actually, but maybe mostly the budget crisis that has been happening at the Capitol building.
Well, I had the pleasure of working with these three fine mayors in waiting earlier, and all three are born in Juneau, so they bring a lot of experience and history and a lot of enthusiasm, and you give us lots of hope for the youth in this town. So thank you for taking on the task, and thank you for coming down here tonight. And you get to see walls in the making. A little bit different tonight. Committee and liaison reports. And Lauren, I'm going to squeeze you in your normal place, so we'll start with Mr. Gregory.
Thank you. So Eagle Crest, this is their final week, so get your skiing in while you can. They are going to be closing next Sunday. So just a reminder to everybody that next Saturday is going to be the slush cup. It's going to be the first time in the last 3 years that we're going to have the slush cup. So get up there and check that out. Saturday at 1 p.m.
Okay. Ms. Weldon?
First of all, Mr. Jones is going to give the Human Resources Committee report. Just quickly, JEDC has been pretty active this last month. They dispersed a loan to some entrepreneurs to acquire a small cleaning company. They approved a loan to a new manufacturer in town that will begin manufacturing this summer. And they have organized a meeting of loss prevention professionals and JPD to discuss the increase in shoplifting. And they want to remind everybody that Juneau Maritime Festival is Saturday, May 6th, and their next board meeting is Wednesday, April 5th. For the school board, they had their final hearing on the budget on March 28th, and it went fairly smoothly. They are doing approval of the Juneau Community Charter, annual contract. They've had their first reading on that. They've also had their first reading on the revision to middle school travel ban. And their FY 2017 projects to be funded by CBJ, CIP, prior list is in its going to be in its final reading, and their projects are going to be $219,000. And their good news was Juneau School District hired Juneau teacher Nancy Peel as a principal for Ock Bay Elementary School, and she replaces Lori Hoover, who is retiring.
Ms. White.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. The Aquatics Board is continuing to work on their budget process to try to increase revenue and drop the expenses of the pool, and that seems to be going forward pretty well. The Lands Committee next meeting is on April 10th. The Planning Commission meeting for April 11th was canceled due to lack of items on the agenda. Travel Juneau has quite a bit going on. Of course, everybody knows the Folk Festival's been going on, a little bit of extra noise. April 15th is going to be fairly busy with the travel fair at the Jack, which is where citizens can go in and learn about the different tour operators, and you can find out what kind of local discounts they may have or that sort of thing. That's also the same day that they're going to have the tour and attractions training for all of the volunteers, and I always like to remind everybody that Juneau has the largest visitor volunteer corps in the country. And then they're also going to be offering to their members what they refer to as guest experience training, where they can learn a little bit more about each of the other members, and that'll be on May 10th.
Thank you, Ms. White. Ms. Webb,
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Parks and Rec Advisory Committee met on March 7th. They spent time talking about their master plan update. So, you know, they're working on a master plan. They did a telephone survey. So, demographically representative, not just people volunteering, but they actually called people. They got about 500 surveys out. So they got a little report on what they heard from those folks. Lots of people think parks and rec programs are important or very important, 77%. 76% say, you know, after school programs are important. Just going on down the list, some things that they knew, you know, people want more ice in the community. Noted that Lemon Creek was an underserved area, something we know. Some people talk about an ORV park, just a long list of things, parks and rec things that people mentioned that they would like to see. So what's going to happen now is they formed a special committee, 9 members, and that is the sort of the steering committee for the rest of the process. And they hope to work through early June and send a set of recommendations. They had 9 applications for 9 seats on that body, so they appointed all of them. Their next meeting is April 4th. The Bartlett Hospital Board met March 28th, had the shortest meeting ever, just an hour and a half. There's a new president, and she's trying to get more reports in advance so they're not taking up meeting time. So there's printed reports, and so they're hoping to tighten up their meetings a little bit. They distributed a draft of a CEO evaluation tool so the board can work on evaluating the CEO. They talked about the bylaws that we saw today. And their next meeting is April 25th. And the General Commission on Sustainability met on March 8th. They got a long presentation, good presentation from Michelle Alford on RecycleWorks, probably some of the same stuff she told us. And they spent time talking about their energy plan, which, you know, they've been working on it for a long time. They've had 7 public meetings on it. They're in the process of finalizing their version of it, responding to some comments that they've received of late. There's a new chair of the Commission on Sustainability. It was Steve Benke, but now it's Duff Mitchell. So Duff Mitchell is the chair. And they hope to get their version of the energy plan before a COW sometime soon, the next couple months. I'm looking at the wrong person. Mr. Dan Curvis. And their next meeting is April 12th. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Human Resources Committee met tonight prior to the assembly meeting. We got the Juneau Affordable Housing Commission annual report and appointments. The report was fairly extensive and should be in your packet. Of note is their key objective for next year involves 4 projects with a total of about $720,000 attached to that. I don't know where that's at in the city's budget. Assume we'll find out on Wednesday night. We had 1 seat on the commission, and the Human Resources Committee is recommending Honey B. Anderson be reappointed to a term expiring January 31st, 2020.
Is there any objection? Nomination is approved.
The Juneau Public Library Endowment Board, we had an appointment to a public seat, and the Human Resources Committee is recommending the reappointment of Barbara Berg to a term expiring January 31st, 2020.
Is there any objection? Nomination is approved.
We had an appointment to the Parks and Rec Advisory Committee. Following the March 6th HRC meeting, there was a vacancy occurred the day after. So we re-advertised, and tonight we the Human Resources Committee is recommending the appointment of Edric Carrillo to an unexpired term ending February 28, 2019.
Is there any objection? Nomination is approved.
The Youth Activities Board appointment, we had one applicant, and the Human Resources Committee is recommending the appointment of Edric Carrillo to a term ending August 31st, 2018.
Is there any objection? Nomination is approved.
We already dealt with the resolution of the bylaws. The only other issue was a follow-up on the Eagle Crest liquor sales. I have met with the chair of the Eagle Crest board. I have met with the attorney who will begin drafting the changes to the resolution. We hope to be able to meet with the Eagle Crest board and risk management and then bring this back to the HRC at our end of April meeting. And if it passes out of there, we would like to have some time on the first committee of the whole meeting in May to bring this forward. And that is the HRC report. Liaison reports, the airport. We dealt with the cargo hard stand tonight. Would also like to state that they are looking at the new jetway to replace gate 2, which, as you know, is the stairs that go down and outside. Alaska Airlines is eliminating all of their combi planes and doing cargo only and passenger only. So gate 2 will need to be reconfigured to have an actual jetway out to a passenger jet. That's going to require electrical panel upgrades and a few other things. And so that's part of what the hospitals or the airport's working on today. And their next meeting is April 11th. I have nothing to report for the LEPC. Their next meeting is April 12th. The DIG has not been meeting lately. I did not attend the last Downtown Business Association meeting, but what was discussed at that meeting and what I've been asked to inform the assembly about is that the membership in the last year has doubled. There are now 122 members of the Downtown Business Association. They are looking at amending their bylaws so that their board of directors will be elected as opposed to sort of self-appointing as it stands today. They're also increasing their collaboration with Travel Juno, Chamber, and JEDC, and that the Downtown Business Association map and guidebook will be open to the public next month. They considered the restaurant week a success, and April 11th is their next meeting. I think this is a time that I should also bring up. Downtown Business Association had asked me if I would like to attend the Main Street USA meeting with them. I said yes. I checked with the attorney. I am paying my own airfare. I am paying my own hotel fees. The Downtown Business Association is paying my registration fee. And the attorney said that that was acceptable under the Ethics Act, but that I should bring it up to the assembly, which I am doing now. It also turns out that I appear to be the only person going to the meeting, since nobody on the DPA is volunteering and nobody from JDC is going. So, but anyway, this would be April 28th through May 4th. So if there's any problems with that, I guess you can bring it up now. Otherwise, I plan on attending.
Is there any discussion on that? I do not see any, Mr. Jones.
Thank you. The DBA's next meeting is also April 11th. Trying to think if there's anything else. There's a couple other things, but I'll save those for assembly comments and questions.
All right. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We'll start out with the Finance Committee. We begin our much more frequent meeting schedule. This week, your Assembly Finance Committee packet should be on your desk. There's one online. Every week till we get a budget, folks. And then maybe a little bit beyond that to talk about the 1% reauthorization question. I have worked with staff. We have a schedule, a tentative schedule of meetings. You'll see it in the back of this Wednesday's packet. If you would like changes to that, if there are items or issues missing from that, please let me know. I want to get them worked in, added in. We all need to make sure we get our questions answered, our issues aired, so we can figure out what to spend and how, or not to. Let's see. The Alaska Municipal League has been extremely active about the Capitol building. Some wins, some losses for municipalities right now. Quite some time before I think the session is going to end. Right now, there are no further cuts to municipal revenue sharing this year. There is also no money to continue it next year. I should say, advance those each one fiscal year. Right now, there is no proposal on the table to change the 22% PERS rate, the 12.56% TERS rate. The clock can tick very fast near the end of the legislative session. AML is watching those as key issues, as well as a number of other bills having to do with local control. I personally appreciate the resolution this evening for the bill on municipal liens, because that's my day job. The UAS Campus Council met today. Significant discussion of the budget. The governor's budget cuts hit pretty hard. That's roughly where the House appropriated. The Senate proposes about $23 million in additional cuts to the university system statewide, or I should say all across the state. Keep in mind that UAS across all three campuses is at about $28 million general fund. So again, the 23 in cuts would be spread across the entire UA system, but looks like about 8-9% of their general funds, if that holds. There was also discussion at UAS Campus Council today, a presentation from Campus Life and the, I'll get this wrong, AL1 Gold students, and a new bill introduced today in the legislature that proposes eliminating the Alaska Performance Scholarship and the Alaska Education Grant, which are the crucially important needs-based grants to Alaskans. So a lot of challenges potentially on the horizon there. Those are my liaison reports. I know that, of course, you probably don't have to do presiding officer reports since that's on the agenda for just a minute from now.
Thank you, Mr. Gill. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Our Public Works and Facilities meeting, the private snowplow folks are saying they don't have any place to put the snow, so our staff will be looking into that. Hopefully we won't have any more this year, but we will have it again someday, I'm sure. Got an appropriation from DOT of $120,000 for design work on relocating the Greening Park pump station. Sad news for many people, but CBJ will no longer thaw water lines. Docks and Harbors. Mr. Uptel is here, and if there are some of these dates that changed, I hope he will tell us. The wiring for the 1% for ARCH is being run down at the docks now, 9:17 approximately. Installation will take place for that 1% for ARCH. The ribbon cutting for the 16B will be May 5th, Friday, May 5th. Douglas Harbor ribbon cutting May 26th at noon. Stater Harbor ribbon cutting Friday, May 19th. Yeah. Aurora Harbor, Northern Construction Services was the low bidder. The lease of the Ock Bay Boatyard negotiations with UAS is progressing, but has not been resolved. dredging permits for Standard Harbor Phase 3 have been let, I believe. The delegation, our congressional delegation, told Docks and Harbors that they're excited to hear about all our construction projects and all the planning efforts that Docks and Harbors are doing. They have been invited to the May ribbon cutting ceremonies. The chamber weighed in on the cruise ship sales tax, and they wanted us to know that because they are wanting to partner with us and talk to us about things that we're doing. So they're trying to keep up with everything we're doing. The chamber had the McDowell Group do a survey on shipping costs because it's part of the economic plan. And it was one of their assignments. Very nice that they're getting their assignments done. They are reaching out to the Downtown Business Association and doing a lot more networking with the businesses downtown so they can work jointly on issues. May 6th, there'll be downtown tours. It's called Tour Diversion. It's an event that will include going to many of our restaurants, kind of like an open house. And there's a cost involved, and I can give you the name of those restaurants if you would like. And that's it.
Thank you, Mr. Denker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Ms. Becker mentioned a date for the 1% art on 16B. Could she repeat that date?
Certainly.
Oh, sure.
Why?
9/17/17. And I think going to 9/17, it's a little bit questionable whether you get a specific date in September. But at any rate, September.
Thank you.
Right. Mr. Dan Kirkus.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On the 13th of March, the Committee of the Whole met where we talked about the Auk Bay Marine Station, and we discussed at length, unlike tonight, the shared access ordinance that we did see tonight. We spent several hours on that, actually most of the meeting. I believe we were going to talk about Recycle Works, but we took up so much time we pushed that to the March 20th Committee of the Whole meeting, where we also had a joint meeting with the hospital board, and we received a financial report, a state of the hospital update, and information regarding the CAMU project. Mr. Manager gave a brief CBJ wellness update at that time. The city attorney discussed with us an essential public facilities ordinance. And as I mentioned, I believe we did get the Recycle Works update on the 20th of March, Committee of the Whole. Our next meeting is April 10th, where I hope to have a fireworks update from JPD. I also hope to get an update from the deputy manager on the progress we've made on our CBJ economic development plan. I hope to have a joint meeting at that time with the Aquatics Board. This should be our first meeting with that group. I think it's important that we have them in and have a discussion with them. And time permitting, and Mr. Cheney's gone now, we might not get a housing update and a Peterson Hill update at that meeting. But that is the most tentative portion of the agenda I have for the April 10th meeting. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Again, starting with Mr. Gregory, Assembly comments and questions.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So as far as Assembly comments go, I'd like to welcome our guests that are here visiting for Folk Festival. I hope they have a good week. With regard to Assembly questions, tonight in our packet we had under the consent agenda ordinances for introduction, and I had a question with regard to Ordinance 2017-08. It was in regards to amending the penal code relating to the discharge of firearms in the Mendel Hall wetlands. I just noticed on page 2 of 2, in between lines 5 and 6, it was talking about discharge of any firearm within 1/4 mile of the Mount Roberts trailhead from the trailhead at 6th Street. The last time I was attempting to use that trailhead, it didn't seem to really exist anymore. It seems that it's moved around to Basin Road. So just had a little question about that, something for law to maybe look at. Okay. Sums up my comments for tonight.
Catch that?
Sure. Yes, I did. I mean, that is an existing code, but we'll look at it to see if it needs to be changed.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Gregory.
You're welcome.
Ms. Wells,
I have two comments tonight. First of all, I had the pleasure of meeting with the Mongolian Parliament with some of you other ones, and they were great people and very interested in a lot of the taxes that we have with my conversations with my side groups. So they're emergency democracy, and it's fun to talk with them, and that was a lot of fun. So my second comment is I would like to look at the mining ordinance and work with the law with law and possibly introduce some amendments, and I would like to know if this body would approve that so I can work with law.
Discussion or objections? Ms. Glashewski.
Last time these mining ordinance changes went through the Planning Commission. So I think that at some point it needs to go to the Planning Commission. So.
Okay. Any other? Mr. Gill.
Any particular changes?
Yeah.
I think you were met with most of the same people that met with me, but one of the changes they're looking at is not to duplicate the same laws that they have to abide by the federal and state laws and also the city laws. In regards to some of their studies that they have to perform.
I'm just unclear about the process for this. I mean, it certainly goes, belongs to the Planning Commission and the Committee of the Whole. There really is no other committee that would hold this. I mean, what is the process envisioned?
I would have to defer to the Madam Attorney for that.
For the mining ordinance? There was a draft that has been circulated. I haven't looked at the draft yet. I was waiting for direction from the Assembly to do that. It's really up to you how you want to proceed. I don't know that that's something... Well, the process could be, if you want to start with the draft... Bring back an explanation about what it does before you decide whether that's something you want to go through the Planning Commission process. It doesn't seem to make sense to move it through the committee process to bring back an ordinance that's adoptable until and unless you decide that those are changes that you want to make or direction you want to go in. That would be my proposal.
So, excuse me, I'm unclear about your proposal.
Unless the Assembly has already reviewed the draft and is comfortable with the direction that it's going in, it seems normally what happens is we have direction about the direction that you want to go in. As we move through a Planning Commission process, staff starts looking at it and making policy determinations about what the code should look like in order to manifest your intentions. But I don't know what your intentions are with respect to the mining ordinance. I know what is being proposed. But it seems like it would be a better process if staff, me, could hear from you to find out if that is the direction being proposed is the direction you want to go in, or if there is some other direction you want to go in before we start fleshing out an amendment to the mining code.
I would say I need more information to know the direction I want to go in. It's a whole process. That's what I'm talking about. It needs the whole process. What is proposed, what does it mean, all of that, I don't know. So that takes meetings and people who know such things to talk about it.
Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I certainly I'm not opposed to Ms. Weldon meeting with the attorney and looking at the things that are already been presented. I believe everyone here has had a meeting with the people who have been writing part of this new proposal that's taking out the duplication, and so I think you all know a little bit about what it's about, and I think if Ms. Weldon could meet with the attorney, if that's something that you think would be important to do at this time, I'm certainly in favor of it and hope everyone else would be too.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I met with the group. I have not read the material that they gave me. I've been preparing for my meetings up here in Anchorage. Concern that I expressed to them was that I was not in favor of removing any duplication at the city level, as long as there was fear that the federal and or state level regulations may go away given the current state of federal administration and the EPA and others. So I don't object to the attorney looking at the proposal and saying this is what it would do and what it wouldn't do, but I am not in favor of putting this in any kind of ordinance form yet.
Any other discussion? Ms. Weldon, your request was to sit down with the city attorney and put it in ordinance form, if I heard you correctly.
Correct.
Is there objection?
Comment?
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, thank you. I have not yet read the proposal I was handed, and that's just because the had the meeting 30 hours ago, and that's, you know, not a reflection or anything. So what was described to me was described in two ways. One was to remove duplication, which was discussed tonight. And the other description was that instead of our current mining ordinance for large mines, we would have only the conditional use permit process. And so I certainly have appreciated the leeway all of you have given me to work on proposals, and I don't object to having staff put some resources into the proposal Ms. Weldon's working on. I'm quite uncomfortable with the notion that CBJ would yield all our role in caring for our citizens to the state and federal administrations. I have not read what was handed to me just, you know, yesterday afternoon. So I don't know if that's what it does. So that's my comment about what was described to me. But I don't object to seeing what comes out of the drafting process.
Okay. Any other discussion? Ms. Flash, yes.
Just I too don't object to working on it. I only know what it was described to me. Duplication is one thing, but it's a big ordinance, and someone needs to go through it and see actually what it does, because I certainly haven't had the time to do that.
Okay.
Just to be clear, since I wasn't earlier, that is the first step that I'm proposing, is to go through the draft and give you some explanation about what it does and what it changes from current code.
Mm-hmm. Any other discussion, Mr. Jones?
No, that's fine.
I believe you have permission.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. White.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Last, I believe it was Friday. Was it Friday, Mila, at the library? Okay, yeah, it was last Friday. I went to a presentation at the Valley Library that was given for CBJ employees, but we were all invited. I didn't make it to the one that was here at City Hall, but I did make it to the one at the library. I found it very useful and informative, and and actually, I was in the building quite a bit after the actual meeting, because I found out city employees actually like it when we show up to things like that and they get to bend our ears. So it was really interesting. That's it.
Thank you. Ms. Lashley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a question and a comment about the Bergman rent issue. Right after the Bergman thing happened, one of the first things I did was call up Mead about what can we do about helping these folks get their money. And Ms. Levine's point is that the people who need their money back often don't have the capacity to be vigilant and file the thing and file the second thing and call up a fourth time. And what can we do to help that happen? Because those are the people that don't have an extra $500 to get another apartment.
Mr. Mayor. Thank you. In response to that call, I reached out to the Alaska Legal Services and spoke to one of the staff attorneys there. He had already received a number of calls. We put out there that Alaska Legal Services was willing and able to take on these particular cases. We have tried to be as responsive as possible and as timely in order to get them documents that they need in order to initiate and prosecute a lawsuit in order to get their rent back.
Is there any way for us to file a group something to carry all the people if they wanted us to, or do something like Ms. Levine suggests, you take on that liability and then pursue that to get paid back, or either of those things?
There is nothing in city code, nothing that we could prosecute the property owners for with respect to this issue. It is a civil landlord-tenant issue, which is why Alaska Legal Services is best in the best position to be able to bring this forward or move it forward.
Mr. Jones?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Three things. I did attend the City Hall budget proposal the day before the one at the Valley Library. Expressed to Mr. Watt that I actually learned a couple of things, which I appreciated. It filled the chambers with employees and I would agree with Ms. White's assessment that it was very informative and very helpful. Secondly, the Lemon Creek Planning Committee was going to meet this Thursday. That's been postponed till April 20th. I've missed the last couple of meetings, and hopefully we'll be able to catch up on the 20th. In addition, today's paper mentioned that North Rim Bank was coming to Juneau on April 12th. Presenting an economic update at Centennial Hall. I think it's from 11:30 to 1:30 on April 12th. In addition, they're doing a session from 9:30 to 10:30 on how businesses can deal with strange economic times, I guess. And then also from 10:30 to 11:30, issues around the Affordable Care Act and how health benefits can help differentiate businesses among their competitors. It's a free registration. They do require registration. So I did register online as I was waiting at the airport to fly up here to Anchorage. Each one is free. So I encourage people to look at the newspaper and see the link and see if they're interested in attending, because I think it would be quite informative. Those are my comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Gill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. There was actually one comment made during the public testimony on the Bergman issue, and I just wanted to put clarification on the record. There was a slip of the tongue that suggested that rent had been paid to the city, and I just wanted to sort of look over at staff and make absolutely sure that at no point has rent money at the Bergman come to the city.
Mr. Keel, the city has accepted no rent monies from the Bergman.
Right. Thank you. I just wanted to get that clear. Appreciate that. I had the opportunity to meet with some of the massive group of students with the Association of Student Governments who came to town. My thanks to those who came in and gave us the report. I was blown away by the young people who went to that conference and the work they did. What's really cool is that a lot of them were blown away by it too. I overheard a couple different times where students interacting just with one another, not with the few adults in the particular session I was in, were just amazed that they had spent the better part of a morning talking about taxes and government finances. And even more amazed that they really enjoyed it. So maybe that just means there's hope for us yet. Speaking of impressive students, thank you to our three honorary mayors for coming tonight, for lending your insights. I appreciate it. I'll look forward to your thoughts on the meeting when next we run into each other. A brief thanks as well to one just interested and active citizen who noted that in the past when there's been the mobile speed detection unit down across the street from Centennial Hall in the 20-mile-per-hour zone, it's had a real effect on motorist speeds, who asked JPD if they could roll that back out for the week of Folk Fest when there are a lot of kids and teenagers and folks around Centennial all week long, and JPD responded just like that. And I believe they'll have that unit down there. If it's not down there tonight, I believe the rest of the week it will be. So it's already there.
No.
So my appreciation to the interested citizen and to JPD for that. Then one final comment, and I guess it circles back to the Bergman issue. I was invited by residents of one of the larger apartment buildings to attend a building meeting that they were having, where they invited JPD and they invited the security firm that their building management pays part-time. They have been having a tremendous issue and a lot of difficulty with folks getting into the building and who don't belong there, who don't rent there, sleeping in various areas. And they have noticed a tremendous uptick since the Bergman was shut down, a real increase in folks in their building. So it's a difficult situation, and we talked about some of the options. It was great to have the sergeant there from the police department who helped them talk through responses and prevention ideas. But when you squeeze that problem in one place, you don't squeeze it away. It pops up somewhere else. And so folks in our community are dealing with that at this point. And I expect that to continue to go on with upcoming changes. So that's something that we all need to engage on and work toward wherever we can, work toward solutions rather than relocation. So that concludes my comments. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First, I'm sorry I omitted thanking you, Ms. Lajewski, for running the public works meeting in my absence. I appreciate that. I was listening in. You did a very good job.
Thank you, ma'am.
Maybe you could tutor me a little bit. It's really good. I just wanted to share that I'm surprised at myself for still being awake, because I just got back today, late this afternoon, from a trip which included going to D.C., taking part in the sesquicentennial celebration of our state. And our First Lady, Donna Walker, was there. Our three congressional delegates were there. And many people from Juneau, and many people from D.C. and other places. The two main events, in addition to sightseeing and things like that, but the two main events were going to a press club dinner where they served duck, which surprised me a little bit because it's an unusual meal, I thought. But actually, I thought it was quite good. And at that, our congressional delegation and our First Lady spoke. And then the next event was at the State Department, and I have pictures that talk about a beautiful building, very high security, extremely high security, but beautiful artifacts, beautiful things. And again, our First Lady and our delegation spoke at those two. It was an excellent, I had a wonderful time. I mean, it was just really impressive and nice, and we're going to have putting up our statue July 3rd, and that was sort of introducing again that it's coming up pretty soon. I appreciated that being held, and it was really fun. Glad I got to go. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Dan Purpose.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd also like to thank the mini mayors for being here. It was fun having the chat upstairs before we came down here. I told you it'd be a little more fun to have a chat in a conference room than sitting down here, and I think I was right. It's a little bit drier down here, but it is upstairs. Thank you. Thank you for your interest. I also was fortunate enough to step into the building when the Mongolian delegation was here, and I thought it might be somewhat tricky conversing with them, and they had a translator here from Denver that had them all wired with earpieces. She had a microphone, and as fast as you could talk, she translated and got it to them, to the point that one of them came up to me and said, "This lady is fantastic at her translating," and she was very good. But what I found really surprising is how they grasped the issues that we explained to them and how fast they grasped those issues. As we talked about property taxes for a while, and one of them said, "Well, you said you get a sales tax. When somebody sells a house, do you get sales tax on that house sale?" Wow. Just like, bam, right to it. And I was pretty impressed with them. And there were some of them that were quite funny, no matter what language they spoke. They were very engaging. And it was really a pleasure to spend that, what was it, an hour or something like that, an hour and a half that we spent with them. It was really, really pretty neat. Now I have a question for the attorney before I'm going to ask the assembly for permission to do something. So currently, Madam Attorney, do we have a public information request ordinance? Or do we not?
We do not.
We do not. Okay. As everybody's aware, we've had some requests recently for public information, and we don't have an ordinance that addresses that. And I would like to work with Madam Attorney to create a local ordinance that addresses that and has some reasonable costs and fees associated with that ordinance. Currently, we don't have one on the books, and I think it's appropriate that we do. And I would like to have the Assembly's approval to meet with the attorney to try and fill this void.
Ms. Fleischewski.
Just a question for Ms. Mead. Do municipalities have the authority to collect fees for review? For law review, because I know the state does not. Is that a state statute? I mean, that's the bulk. That is what, as you know, takes the most time. Can we charge for that?
Other municipalities do.
So we can. Other municipalities do, but...
Okay. Other municipalities do, and it's not been challenged.
Okay.
Is there any objection?
No.
Okay. Thank you all. And that's it for me, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Well, I'll finish up. The Mongolian delegation did have a good sense of humor. They went out to the UAS and were perplexed, according to them, that a university could not spell USA correctly. Very good sense of humor. I did get an email today that said late fees are being charged on utility bills because of bank mistake. I asked Mr. Bartholomew if he knew anything about that, because a lot of people do auto pay. Is that true?
I haven't had a chance to get the utility going, but I'll read that long.
Okay.
I'm sure
huh? I'm sure Mr. Jones didn't hear what Mr. Bartholomew just said.
Mr. Jones, you want to come up here so Mr. Bartholomew can hear?
Vice versa,
please.
Yeah,
Chris,
all of you up here.
Jones
is the one in the ceiling.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't have the theme yet, Scotty.
And it's only 9:30. Yes.
So to clarify, Mr. Mayor, contact me today with the information that there's been some interest, at least, for late fees being charged on utility bills related to the automatic payments coming out of banks, and so. That's the first I'd heard of it, so I'll have to look into that tomorrow.
And could you shoot an email to the Assembly letting them know?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, thank you.
All right. That brings us to continuation of public participation. Do we have anybody signed up? We do not. Do you want to give them the form? Yeah. We got it. Oh, thanks. thank you for your patience. If you state your name and address, please.
My name is Dennis Gailey. I live at 8505 Vendenhall Loop Road. I've emailed the assembly a couple times and gotten responses from quite a few of you. But I'd like to talk today about the sales tax. I know this is an issue that Mr. Keel has talked about before, but currently the sales tax includes groceries. I don't think that groceries should be taxed. I think that a single mother trying to feed her children should not be paying a sales tax to subsidize a season pass for a lobbyist at Eagle Crest. Either eliminating the tax on groceries, or if need be, to raise the sales tax as a whole. And I don't know what percentage of the sales tax income comes from food, but to raise the sales tax an adequate amount so that the sales tax on groceries could be eliminated.
Okay. Are there any questions? Thank you.
Thank you
for your patience. That concludes public participation on non-agenda items. We will be going into executive session now on the seal appeal. Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move. Oh, Madam Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, before you make a motion to go into executive session, I'd just like the record to note that there was a mistake in the agenda itself. The city manager has no recommendation regarding the final outcome of the appeal. That's the assembly's prerogative. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move we recess into an executive session to discuss the Southeast Alaska Seal Trust versus CBJ assessor decision on appeal.
Thank you very much. Take a 5-minute at ease to get everybody clear.